Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
The Lady in the White Dress by Nadine. This was about 15 years ago. I was 17 at the time. I remember everything about this, though. I consider myself a skeptic, but no matter how hard I try, I can't explain this experience away. I live in the UK. Around the time of this experience, I attended my school's sixth form, which is where students from ages 16 to 19 achieve higher level education before attending university or going on to do other things. I worked part-time, including some late hours over the weekend. During this time, there was a financial crisis in the UK, and my parents lost the company they built, along with just about everything with it, including our home. We were rehomed through emergency housing and located two towns over. It was a two-bedroom home, which housed me, my brother, my parents, and our dog. I wanted to maintain a normal social life, as I had just turned 17. I was allowed to have the small dining room at the front of the house. My brother then had one bedroom and my parents the other. There were a few odd things straight away. Everything felt dark. Even with the lights on, it just felt like the rooms were never bright. I spent most of my time out or in my room. I never made an effort to sit in the rest of the home. I really didn't like it. My dog wouldn't settle, barking and whining continuously. Anyway, my mom would collect patterned glass cutting boards, and when not in use, she would place them on the stovetop. We all knew to move them before using the stove. One day, my mom went to work and my brother and I went off to school. My dad was home alone and went to get the morning paper. When he returned, he said he could hear our dog barking from up the street. He got into the house and our dog was in the kitchen, going crazy. My dad looked at the stovetop, and two of the glass cutting boards were smashed. All four of the stovetop rings were on and turned up to maximum heat. He checked with us to see if we had left them on, but he knew we hadn't, as the stove wasn't used that morning. On another occasion, I was in my room working on an essay. I looked at the time, it was 11 p.m. I wanted to chat with my mom, so I got up to go see if she was still awake. When I left my room, the hallway was dark as usual, save from the small glow from the bottom of the living room door. I could hear the noise from the TV and see the movement of light. When I opened the door, the room was dark. My mother wasn't there, and the TV was off. My dog was growling on the sofa, then jumped off and went down the hallway to my room, where he stayed the night. I stood there in the doorway in complete disbelief. I couldn't believe no one was in the room, and the light was off, as was the TV. The darkness of the room seemed pitch black, and the silence became deafening. I quickly walked back to my room, and switched on my TV to have something to fall asleep to. I worked out of the house for the next few days at a festival, and I couldn't have been happier. The odd, heavy gray feeling I got in that house seemed to lift when I was away from it, which was as much as possible. When I came home, my bed had been moved to my brother's room. I was to stay there with him for a few days. No arguments. His bed was at the back of the room. Mine was near the door. I could see over the top step of the landing, over to the door of my parents' room. The light was always on. No one in my family is very keen on the dark. One night, I awoke from my sleep. I could hear my brother call out to me. He sounded frightened. "Go back to sleep," I said. "Did you hear that?" he responded. After he said that, I could hear the creaking of the stairs, like someone was walking up them. "Shush, it's just the neighbor. Go to sleep," I said. We were in a terrace house, so it's possible that our neighbor was pacing around in the small hours of the morning. I would believe that until this day, were it not for the fact that when I laid back down to face the door, I could see the back of a white, long nightdress and long, auburn hair. I shut my eyes tight and prayed my brother wouldn't say another word. He didn't, and I fell back to sleep. I didn't say anything about it to anyone, and a week or two later, summer break was here. While away, another home was found a few towns over. A lovely three-bedroom home where my parents still live today. It was lovely. I remember coming home and stepping into the house. It was instantly bright and warm. I couldn't believe the contrast. In the first few months of living there, we all started to talk about the other place, and we all had different experiences and things we couldn't explain. We kept it from one another at the time, since we had just lost everything and weren't doing so well. It's been years since I thought about this, but I remember everything so vividly.
A Christmas Ghost Story by Michael. After a long and tumultuous marriage, my parents divorced when I was in my late 20s. My father stayed in the house, my mother moved out, and in much need of a change myself, I moved out of New England and to Texas, not too long after they split. About a year after the divorce was finalized, my mother began a new relationship with a man named Ed. Ed was quiet, soft-spoken, reserved, and generally pleasant. Every bit the opposite of my father. I have two older sisters who are both married with children, and other than my oldest sister, no one really gave Ed much of a chance. He was the new man in a very close yet dysfunctional family. And I think it was a very tough adjustment for everyone dealing with the absence of my father and the presence of this person who we just didn't really know. As the years rolled by, I would return home in the summer or for Christmas, and Ed would always be there at family gatherings. He was still hovering around the periphery of the conversations, largely ignored and keeping to himself. He would take it all in stride, and always made a point to warmly greet me and see how I was doing. On every visit home, my mother would offer for me to stay at her condo. Since Ed had moved in with her very early in their relationship and staying there was something I was not comfortable with, I would always decline and stay at one of my sister's instead. About 7 years after they began their relationship, Ed was diagnosed with dementia. By this time, I was living in Los Angeles, and I was engaged. The following spring, my fiancé and I returned home to attend my cousin's wedding. Ed had already begun a steep decline. He had more or less lost the ability to communicate in any way with anyone other than my mother, who could understand, and it was a very sad thing to see. I returned back to Los Angeles, where later that summer, it was my turn to be married. Unfortunately, about a month before my wedding, Ed passed. Despite the pain that my mother must have been in at the time, she wore a smile the whole day, and my wedding day went off without a hitch. Later that year, my wife and I planned to visit my family for Christmas. My mother offered for us to stay at her condo, and this time, I took her up on the offer. It seemed like a good idea to spend time with her and give her some company, given all she had been through in the past couple of years. We arrived on a red-eye flight Christmas Eve morning, spent the day at my mom's, and later that night had dinner over at my middle sister's house. Christmas morning, I woke early. I started the coffee and waited for my wife and mother to wake up. They eventually did, and there was even a small little snowstorm that blew in, dropping about an inch of snow. My wife and I went for a walk, had breakfast, and started to get ready to go over to my oldest sister's house, where the entire family was gathering for the day. My wife, mother, and I left at around 2 p.m. and spent the rest of the day over at my sister's, where we exchanged gifts and had dinner. We returned back to my mother's condo at around 8. Now, as we rounded the corner and her condo came into view, my mother exclaimed, "Why are all the lights on?" Sure enough, the condo was lit up like a Christmas tree. Pardon the pun. My initial thought was that there had been a break-in. My adrenaline immediately shot up. As we cautiously entered the condo, we found the entryway light, the kitchen light, and the chandelier light above the staircase all on. In addition, the small tabletop Christmas tree that was in the guest bedroom where my wife and I were staying was on. It was all a bit confusing. There was definitely no break-in. However, none of us had any recollection of any of these lights being on when we left, or why we would have turned them on at all, as the condo gets tons of natural light. More than anything, my mother is extremely fastidious and not the type of person to leave the house with all the lights on, ever. We basically all agreed that they must have been left on in a hurry, or somebody forgot to turn them all off. The next night, my wife and I went out with my middle sister Tracy and her husband Patrick to do some bar hopping. We ended the night back at my sister's house, hanging out in the kitchen and talking. "So how has it been staying with Mom?" my sister asked. "It's been fine. Pretty quiet over there," I replied. "Patrick thinks Ed is still there," she said. I got chills and replied, "Why?" My brother-in-law Patrick, who's an electrician, was over at my mother's house alone, hanging the light fixture in the kitchen a month or so after Ed had died. He said that he felt an intense presence, the presence of Ed. Ed was watching him from the hallway as he worked. Patrick is an extremely practical, down-to-earth, blue-collar type guy, not the type to be particularly open or into the paranormal world and all that that entails. So strong was the presence of Ed, however, that Patrick spoke out loud to say, "Hi, Ed. I know you're watching me. I'm just hanging the light fixture." "Oh my God," my wife said. "The lights were on when we got back there last night." My blood ran cold. I was so taken with Patrick's story that I had completely forgotten the issue with the lights. We proceeded to tell them what happened, and we all had a collective shudder over the spookiness of it all. It was late, and we had eventually headed back to my mother's, where we both were not particularly excited to return. To be honest, I was downright scared. Lights being on is one thing, but having a full-on encounter with the spirit was not something I wanted to deal with. Fortunately, nothing else happened, and we headed down to Boston the next night to grab our flight back to LA. It's been 6 years since this happened, and I've been back several times since, but I never had anything weird happen. I think that if it was him, he's since moved on. I never mentioned any of this to my mother as I didn't want to upset or scare her. I'm not sure what happened that cold Christmas night. Maybe it was his way of reaching out to say, Merry Christmas. Field of Greens is the healthiest thing that I do every day, and I want all of you on this journey with me. It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I personally like the original Field of Greens flavor, and it's completely improved my life. This is nutrition the way that nature intended it. Now, I've always had such a hard time getting all of my vegetables and fruit in every day, and most of the supplements out there do not agree with my stomach. And that's usually because of the complicated list of ingredients, stuff I can't even pronounce. But that's why I love Field of Greens. I know exactly what I'm consuming, and it's real, organic food. It actually helps my digestion. My stomach feels better. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you're going to love this product, but if for any reason you don't, they'll give you a 100% money-back guarantee. And I got you 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code TRAILS. That's promo code TRAILS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Now back to the show.
A Witness to the Beyond by Jersey Girl 94. What I'm about to share happened to me in late May of 2016, when I was 21. At the beginning of the month, my paternal grandmother passed away. She and my grandpa retired to Massachusetts years ago, so I didn't get to see her as often as I used to. We were very close, talking on the phone regularly, visiting her every summer and after Christmas. She was my last living grandparent, and I took her loss very hard. A week or so after her funeral, my bedroom closet collapsed. Just what I needed, right? It had the metal shelves that held board games on top, and hung clothes underneath. It was the original closet to the home, which was built in 1998. I should mention that we are the first owners, so what happened to me can't be the spirits of past owners. Luckily, though, my dad is a carpenter, so he was able to design and build a new closet for me. After sorting through clothes, games, and old things, it was time to clean and paint it before the new wooden shelves could be installed. On the Saturday after we had painted the inside of the closet, I opened the windows to air my room out. I decided to take a cat nap as the paint dried. Since it was May, the weather was somewhere in between warm and cool, so I only needed a light blanket on top of me. As I was drifting off, I felt my blanket being slowly pulled off of me. I thought it was my sister playing a prank on me, and I said out loud, "Come on, stop, I'm trying to rest." The blanket then pulled some more before stopping. I got up and saw no one was there. I went outside and asked my sister why she pulled the blanket off of me. She looked at me confused and asked what I was talking about. I told her what happened and she said she didn't even know I was sleeping. I asked my parents separately if they had moved the blanket, and they said no. They were outside doing yard work, and my dog was with them the whole time. I know what you might be thinking. The window was open and a breeze probably pulled it. If the breeze had moved the blanket, it would have moved air under it, creating a tent effect, not pulling it. A week or so later, at around 5:45 in the morning, I heard my bedroom door creak open. This isn't unusual, as my parents like to open my door before they go to bed, even though I close it. I heard the familiar noise of my dog shuffling through my door, and I assumed she was coming to wake me up. I then felt my blanket being pulled on the right side of my bed. I was facing left when I was lying down, so I couldn't see what was going on. I was just trying to fall back asleep. But then I heard the shower turn on in my parents' bathroom, so I knew my mom was awake and getting ready for work. 10 minutes later, I hear my parents' bedroom door open, and my mom walk out to the kitchen. I thought my dog would run after her, as she always does, to get food scraps while she makes my dad's lunch. But I didn't hear anything. A few minutes later, my mom walked back to her room and opened the door, and my dog came running out. I shot out of bed and went to the kitchen and asked my mom if she had the dog with her all night. She said yes and looked at me confused. I told her what happened and she shook her head, said that I probably dreamed it. My parents don't believe in the paranormal like I do, and they just brushed it off. It was impossible for my dog to have gotten into my room without my parents letting her out of their room. Lastly, a week or so after this had happened, I had a very vivid dream. In the dream, I was walking on a bridge of flowers, very similar to the one in Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. I've been to the bridge before while camping in the Berkshires, which is about an hour from the bridge. In the dream, I'm walking with a crowd of people. I look to the other side of the bridge, and I see a door surrounded by light. As I am mesmerized by this beautiful bridge and the door, I see my late grandma. I call out to her, just as she is about to walk through the door. She turns to me, smiles, and says, "I love you." I told her I love her too. She then walks through the door of light and disappears. I woke up and thought, did I really just dream that? Did I just witness my grandma crossing over into the light? Was it her spirit pulling my blanket? I haven't had any paranormal experiences since this dream. I think that everything that happened to me was all connected. Maybe she was trying to send me a message that she was still here, and when she was ready to go, she found me one last time. I feel honored that I was the one to see her cross over to heaven.
Spirits and Entities by Lunaria Knight. I used to stay at my friend's house in Alabang here in the Philippines, since I am currently working in a different city from my place. The first time I stayed there, I had these headaches. It felt like the energy of the house was heavy. I didn't mind it at first, but things did get worse, far worse than I expected. I never experienced any of this at any other place. It all started there. I always slept in bed with my friend, and it always felt like someone was watching me. I shrugged off that feeling at first, then I kept on seeing this woman with long hair and a white dress. She would watch me sleep. I always woke up at 3 a.m. It scared the shit out of me. I ignored it at first, but one time I woke up and she was right by the bed, standing there. When I checked her face, her head was kind of crooked and she was looking right at me. I immediately shook my friend awake and she wasn't there anymore. I kept on seeing her and even had a nightmare about it, so I just got used to it. I asked my friend about it, since I kept on getting headaches whenever I walked the halls beside the stairs. And that's when she told me the story of the house. The last owner of the house hanged herself on the second floor. I truly got chills after hearing that story. I even told her to get rid of the doll that was facing the stairs that leads to the room. It creeped me out. Since I got used to her, I just always tried to ignore her when she was there. But one time, I was preparing my coffee at 3 a.m., and if I didn't walk into the hallway beside the stairs that go to the kitchen, I had to go around the dining area with the big mirror on it, like the mirror that you have in a dance studio or a ballet studio. So I finished my coffee and I decided to go back to our room. When I was walking back to our room, I was looking outside and I saw this black figure beside the pool. It had yellow glowing eyes. We were staring right at each other for 15 seconds. I wanted to make sure that what I was seeing was real, but I was frozen at what I saw. I then tried walking and acting normally and went back to the room. I decided to wake up my friend. I was shaking. Now, whenever I'm in an unfamiliar place, I always choose to go home instead of staying there.
Improving your diet is a breeze with Factor's appetizing, ready-to-consume meals. Each meal is prepared fresh, never frozen, by skilled chefs and endorsed by dietitians, offering convenience in just 2 minutes. With over 35 meal choices available weekly, including options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto, and over 60 additional items to enhance your energy and wellness throughout the day, there's no better time to pursue your health objectives. Quickly nourish yourself with Factor's high-quality, ready-to-heat meals, ideal for when time is of the essence. From pancakes and smoothies to snacks and more, explore an extensive range of effortless meal solutions for any time of the day. Factor's meals eliminate the need for preparation and cleanup, providing a straightforward path to nourishing your body. It's designed to accommodate your lifestyle, allowing you to modify delivery schedules as needed, ensuring maximum flexibility. Factor stands out as the optimal choice for anyone seeking speedy, top-notch meal options without the hassle of cooking. By signing up, you'll discover that Factor is more cost-effective than ordering takeout, with every meal guaranteed to be both nutritious and satisfying, as verified by dietitians. Head to factormeals.com/trails and use code TRAILS50 to get 50% off. That's code TRAILS50 at factormeals.com/trails50 to get 50% off. Now back to the show. Nursing Home Story by Laura. I worked as an overnight shift CNA at a nursing home facility. I had a resident named Jane. She was quite loud and extremely demanding, but overall a nice person. One day, she suddenly passed away. She was having a difficult time breathing, and we couldn't save her. I remember the pleading look on her face, which seemed to silently say that she wasn't ready to go yet. The day after Jane passed, I was in her old room getting her roommate Carol settled into bed. As soon as I entered the room, I felt a coldness envelop me. It was unsettling to see Jane's empty bed and sparse belongings, all boxed up and ready to go. I had goosebumps and heard a creak from the always closed bathroom door on Jane's side of the room. I noticed it but didn't acknowledge it. As an empath and a CNA, these things happen, and the other caregivers who experience similar things tell me not to acknowledge it, or the spirits won't move on. So anyways, it was about 3 a.m. Before I entered the room, I turned on the light switch, located in the hallway. I was in there with Carol with the door closed while I provided care, and suddenly I heard a sharp rap on the door. My friend and CNA hall partner, Brianna, came in and said, "Laura, is everything okay in here?" "Yeah, why do you ask?" I responded. She replies, "Jane's call light just came on the monitor." I told her it felt weird to be in there. I had goosebumps, and I heard a lot of creaks. I asked her to stay to keep me company while I finished up, which she did. We laughed and joked for a bit, trying to shake off the unsettling energy we felt. I completed my routine and walked towards the door, with the trash in hand, and suddenly, the room light turned itself out. Brianna and I locked eyes and went, "Did that just happen?" The hallway was dark and empty, as it should be at 3 a.m. I double-checked with our nurse to see where she was, but she was about 400 feet away at the nursing station. Our nurse is probably 70 years old and has seen it all. We told her what happened and she had no comment, just a small, knowing look on her face.
Was I abducted by Luca? I don't know if I should report this or what. I just need some guidance. I'll try to keep it brief. Saturday night, my boyfriend and I were headed home after a drinkless night out. I was driving, pulled up to a red light, and I told him, "Keep an eye out for the green light for me," because I wanted to check my phone. Now, I always pull up right to the white line. I hate it when people stop short of it. I was fully aware and not sleepy at all when I said this. For additional context, I was going down a slight hill, but I was uphill from the light. The next thing I knew, I woke up. See, my car was now about 40 feet away from the line for the red light. Confused and panicked, I muttered something like, "What the hell?" And my boyfriend sat up and said, "What just happened?" I snapped at him. "I told you, let me know when the light turns green. I don't know what happened." "How long were we sitting here?" he asked. I shrugged. He then told me that the video he was watching showed that it had played for 10 minutes. He went back through the video and didn't remember any of it. This really creeped me out. I barely slept that night. The next day, I joked about it to my sister. But today, on the way home from work, my boyfriend and I passed that same traffic light, so I asked him, "What do you think happened the other day? It was weird, right?" He had no idea what I was talking about. I recounted the entire story as specifically as I could. He didn't even remember getting home or the ride home. So, do you think something supernatural happened? Do I report it? If so, where to?
So you couldn't just leave Michael's story until Christmas, could you?
I'm sorry. I was reading through the stories this week, and that one just really jumped out at me. To be completely honest, I do the same thing with presents.
No.
Yeah, my wife and I always open our gifts weeks before Christmas because we just can't wait.
My mother would kill you, just so you know. I even left a note saying, "Save this for Christmas" in the spreadsheet.
Hey, I'm a child of divorce. Give me a break.
I see they've omitted the pork loin with lime jello.
We should have gone to Dorsey. I could have gotten us a table.
You know, I feel really bad for the listeners who still haven't seen American Psycho. They're missing out on so many of these references, even though, let's be fair, it's not like the greatest movie. It has its, I don't even want to say flaws, but it has its divisive qualities, we should say. But
oh, definitely. Yeah.
You know what? I love it. What can I say?
Yeah, but it's hard not to quote it. It's a favorite of both of ours, and it's embedded into our, I guess, our language at this point.
Yeah, I think American Psycho and Pee-wee's Big Adventure are two, and Hackers are like probably the three movies I can quote just about in entirety. And Tombstone 2 for some reason, which,
nice.
I mean, obviously it's a good movie, but yeah.
The only lines I remember from that were the obvious, like, "I'm your Huckleberry" stuff. But then there's that line where at the end he goes, "Room service forever," or something like that. He like promises her room service forever. And it's so cheesy. But I love that movie. It's good.
Oh, it's great. That was my introduction to Westerns. And I thought I hated Westerns for the longest time. Then I saw Tombstone. I'm like, damn, these are good. And yeah, went on a kick, and I like a good Western.
Yeah, same. I especially like that we both know American Psycho so well that when the other one quotes a line, we both naturally go into character and just act out the entire conversation like we did.
Should we stop?
No, they should watch the movie so they can get the references and they can play along, and they'll look like little psychos at the office when they're saying lines like, "Duct tape, I need it for taping something," out loud.
Little American Psychos.
Okay, good catch. Yeah. I don't think we'll ever be able to resist jumping directly into an American Psycho scene if the other one chimes in with a quote.
Yeah, I would say viewers should definitely be aware.
Yeah.
Like, there isn't a whole lot of... Actually, no, there is some violence on
there's
the screen.
There's some, but it's not like you'd think.
Yeah. The whole trampling on the pup, that's a little disheartening, but it's filled with a lot of triggers, you should say. So I would check IMDb beforehand, but I feel like most people have seen it. Like, if you're a movie person, you've seen American Psycho.
Yeah, I can agree with that, but I promise we'll tone it down with the Bateman references after this episode. I'm sure there's an angry reviewer out there with their fingers at the ready after this one.
Yeah, God forbid we've seen a movie that we enjoyed. But yeah, you don't read those anymore, right?
No, not much anymore. Even though they're like 90% positive, the negative ones just really bother me, and I don't need that in my life anymore.
Yeah, imagine getting so worked up and mean over free entertainment. We got one about because of the fact we had some Reddit stories. Like, God forbid we had a short week on stories. Like, what do you want us to do? Just not have an episode? It is what it is. It's a story, whether it's sent through email or just discovered on Reddit and reaching out for permission.
Yeah. I'm just trying myself not to tell people that something is bad if I don't like it, because I know how it feels. I just tell them, it's just not for me, but don't let me deter you from checking it out. But I still have some work to do. I catch myself sometimes being that angry reviewer just in conversation with people.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And once you're on the other end, you realize how much it stings. So now, like, I am one to leave reviews on Google reviews. And I'm not a stranger to leaving one star, even despite being somebody who reads reviews. I feel like they deserve it. So it's okay. If we deserve it, you know, by all means, you know, constructive criticism. So
yeah,
it's all right. I can dish it out. I can take it. I think you can too. I think we're at the point where we're just at the acceptance stage.
Yeah.
Because I mean, overall, the show's successful. We're having fun. No mean words are going to stop us.
Yeah. Those reviews can be lame though. Anyways, let's talk about this story.
Okay. Yeah. On to the whole point of the show.
Yeah.
Good idea.
I find Christmas ghosts to just make so much more sense than non-holiday ghosts, and I don't know why.
I'd imagine it could be because of A Christmas Carol and the Three Ghosts. That story is basically a horror story, and it's one of the more popular Christmas stories of all time.
Yeah, that makes total sense. My favorite interpretations were always The Muppets' Christmas Carol and Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Hard agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I just agree with you, but I mean that too. Anyway, continue.
Have you seen the Mike Flanagan show, The Haunting of Hill House?
Oh, you know what? You know, this is just one of those things where I know the title, but I can't visualize it. So there's no point for me to get all like excited. So I'm just going to say no. Let's just be safe.
Okay. Well, this story actually reminded me of that show because they put all of these hidden ghosts in the background in a lot of the shots throughout the show. It happens in most, if not all, of the episodes. And the ghosts are just back there standing there, staring and watching the characters, not doing anything, just kind of hidden. And you can't see them unless you're really looking for them. I love it.
Okay, yeah. Midnight Mass, right? Same guy?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
I love Midnight Mass.
That one was really good. Really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked all the hidden stuff, like in The Shining, the Easter eggs and all that.
Yeah, I love Easter eggs, especially creepy ones.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of things to touch on in Nadine's story, which stick out to me as particularly spooky.
Ooh, do tell.
Well, wait, sorry, I gotta trail off for a sec. What okay. Is it with us tonight? Dang. So I always get tongue-tied whenever I narrate the word particularly.
Yeah.
I think it's because I say it faster in casual speech and it's fine for the sounds and syllables to kind of blend together. But when I'm in my ghost throat mode, I guess you could say, it just seems weird hearing it broken down into smaller parts, so to speak.
Who's to say?
Look at these puns. And I say this like separate from words that we flat out don't like, how we talked about oil and things like that.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I usually have trouble saying rural.
Oh, yeah.
And having done so many Let's Not Meet stories for so many years with, you know, interesting words all throughout, I've been told by plenty of those feisty reviewers how they think I should be saying those words. I actually had some people recently accuse me of using AI for my recent narrations.
What? Like text-to-speech?
Yeah, and that...
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, that would be nice, but it kind of bummed me out because I probably sound different due to the fact that I've been trying to get better with my breathing and my performance, but I guess that's neither here nor there. Let's move on.
Anyway, what creeped me out about Nadine's story was obviously her seeing that woman in the white dress walking past her door by the stairs.
Yeah. A true classic. She and her brother both heard the footsteps too.
Yeah, it's perfect. There's no frills about it, but I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what actually made me say nope and hate that for her was when all four of the burners on the stove were turned on.
Yeah, seriously, that just seems way too sinister and threatening, whether or not it was a ghost or whatever.
Exactly. If it's a poltergeist or something, that obviously sucks, but it's pretty clear neither she or anybody in the family touched the stove.
Mm-hmm.
So then my mind goes to Malicious Frogger.
Oh, you've seen that one movie, right?
I See You, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah, that's it. Of mm-hmm. course, nobody likes uninvited guests, no matter how seemingly harmless. And I know you're fanatical about your security, but that movie effectively unlocked a new fear, as they say these days.
Yeah, there's just no way. I've had things stolen from my car, and even that makes me feel so unsafe.
Yeah.
I could be up all night worrying about the thought of somebody living in the air vent above my desk if I wanted to, but as they also say, there's no sense in getting worked up over things that you can't control. For example, like my throat still not being 100%. If somebody is that determined to live in my air vent just so they can eavesdrop on our rage nights playing Fortnite, they'll find a way.
Yeah, very true. I'm sure I already have a small person curled up inside of my kick drum. I guess as long as they feed Chip and Gadget, I don't really mind.
Yeah, there you go. Since there are some weirdos out there who wouldn't hesitate to take you up on that invitation, I'll just go ahead and put it out there. That was a joke.
Yes, please don't take apart my drum set for any reason.
I knew a guy in middle school who drummed for a school play. It wasn't a concert. He just played a drummer in a play. And speaking of jokes going over heads, his name in the play was either somewhat genius or the teachers were totally oblivious. But his name was Ronnie Rocket Wrists.
That couldn't have been an accident.
I mean, to his credit, he could drum really fast. must have been that rocket fuel, if you catch my drift.
Yeah.
So when you mentioned Chip and Gadget,
yeah.
I just wanted to say how cute it was that dogs were featured in two of the stories this week.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me want to do some themed episodes about stories that have seemingly irrelevant similarities.
Yeah, kind of like how Joel does on Let's Read with like ghost encounters at the furniture store.
Possessed donkeys ruining weddings.
Yeah, I love Joel.
Same. So yeah, I'm thinking we should borrow the idea for more themed episodes, but just go all out, do an entire episode featuring stories from people who still have their wisdom teeth.
Yeah, I'm sure we've done that unknowingly.
Let's just change the title of one of the older episodes and call it good.
Yeah.
Maybe even episode one.
Yeah.
That'll really draw in some new listeners.
Yeah, just change every episode title to contain some sort of teeth reference.
Okay, then I'm going to brush up on my puns. Brace yourself.
Okay, take the crown.
Thank you. Oh, I almost forgot. See, there's an Office Space quote for you. But anyway,
yeah.
I did almost forget to mention, we reached 10 million listens over the weekend. So consider this the celebration. Appreciate you all for listening. I'm just a little tired now. It's about 10 o'clock. I have a lot of recording to do still. I can't believe it.
Oh my God. Just release it tomorrow.
You heard it from the king himself. Sorry, it's my fault.
You don't have time and you have to work in the morning. Just release it tomorrow. I'm sorry, everyone. It's not a big deal. Everyone can chill. But yeah, that milestone snuck up on us. Thank you, everybody. We had a lot going on this week. And yeah, let's just push it back just a few hours. You know, it'll still come out tomorrow night. It'll still come out on Monday for you all. But yeah.
Yeah, daddy chill.
Yeah.
I still say that to my dad any chance I get.
Me too. And it makes him laugh.
Love my daddy.
But yeah, that 10 million milestone snuck up on us. Thank you, everybody.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. That sounds suspiciously like another one of those super smooth transitions, in my opinion.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, again, for listening. If you have a story to share, make sure you send it to stories@oddtrails.com. All the stories you heard this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective authors. If you want to join our Patreon, you're going to get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate. You can do that at patreon.com/oddtrails. Go support the show today, and make sure you check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, like Let's Not Meet, a True Horror Podcast, and the Old Time Radio Cast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. See y'all next week. Odd blessings. Stay safe.
Peace out. We'll be right back.
Don't let the ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.